The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
Okay, hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner, and thanks for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing great today. It's a very sad day. You know, it never ceases to make us all sad. It's not just me, it's everyone. Even my 16-year-old daughter this morning was crying as we watched the names being, you know, told and set out, and as they do each year, although I did hear that they're going to stop that, but I doubt that's going to be true. But it is a very sad day. I was down there. I know how it is. I was actually there. I was working there on the first one in 93. And I was down there and gave out water the next day on 9/11. And it was just heartbreaking. I mean, I lived in the city for 20-something years, and it's home, and our apartment was downtown. So, or one of my last apartments was downtown. Anyway, it's a sad day. We're going to talk about today something that it's a very interesting topic. Actually, it's a very great book that I'm going to highly suggest everyone get. It's called Pendulum: How Past Generations Shape Our Present and Predict Our Future. And it's interesting because those that are born in the 9/11 generation, children like my daughter who's 16, are very molded by 9/11. It's very much a part of their life. I mean, my daughter was 5 and she goes, "Mom, I remember this. I remember that." It's very part of their life. And I'm interested to see if it really does, according to my guest today, Michael Drew, who is a co-author of this book. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about how the pendulum does swing and how history can tell us things. And I want to welcome Michael Drew to Shannon's Corner. Hi, Michael. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Shannon?
I'm terrific. Thanks. Thanks for joining us. You have written a very fascinating book, Pendulum: How Past Generations Shape Our Present and Predict Our Future. Now, most of us think of a pendulum. It goes one way and then goes back the other way. And we think of it in different terms than what you're talking about. You're talking about generational swings that continue to happen, what, every 20 or 40 years? Is it 20 years?
Yeah, it happens every 40 years.
40.
And the reason we use pendulum as a metaphor is because it illustrates the internal change that society makes in how it views the world. It's the carrot at the end of the stick that we chase, and it changes every 40 years. We don't necessarily know what that carrot will be, but what we most certainly know is that it'll be brought to us by the youth.
So you can brought to us by the youth. So you're saying the youth of each generation defines, obviously, that makes sense. It defines it. But how does it correlate to 40 years before that? I mean, are the youth always the same, or do they just kind of jump out and just define the next 30 years ahead of them or 25 years ahead of them?
Well, it's interesting. There's a famous sports writer from the Chicago Tribune. His name is Blackie Sherrod, and he stated, "The reason history must repeat itself is because we pay so little attention to it the first time." Even as far back as the Old Testament of the Bible, David said in the Book of Solomon, he said, "The thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which shall be done is that which shall be, and there is no new thing under the sun." Basically, what my co-author Roy H. Williams and I did is we're marketers, and to give our clients a competitive advantage, we want to be able to predict what cultural trends and norms are going to be ahead of our competitors. And so, what we recognized was that to be able to predict the future reasonably, you need to be able to understand the past, which is why we went back and researched the last 3,000 years of recorded Western civilization. And we did it under the auspices of, we had a hypothesis, and we went out to disprove that hypothesis. And the hypothesis was that we had a 40-year me cycle versus a 40-year we cycle, and that we switched back and forth. And the more research we did, and the more we were able, the scarier it got, the more accurate we saw that our hypothesis actually was. And what happens is that we have a mindset of we or me, and we always take a good thing too far. So if we're in a me concept, there's real beauty in being in a me society. We've got freedom and self-expression and looking and feeling good and having big dreams. But on the other side of that, the downside is that when we take that too far, we become a society that is plastic, that is phony. Essentially, we've become a society of posers. And this is where the youth comes in, because the youth of society reject that extreme nature and become, if you will, the gravity that pulls society back down towards the opposite direction into a we. Whereas in a we cycle, the values of a we cycle is working together for the common good. It's not about big dreams, it's about small actions. But at the extreme end of a we cycle, we become a society that is highly regimented and highly conformed. And again, here's where the youth comes in. They become the gravity that pulls us back down towards a me cycle. So what happens is we as individuals and human beings, we form an opinion, and it takes a long period of time for us to change that opinion. But the youth of society, they tend to reject that way of thinking because we, as adults, have taken that form of logic or thinking too far.
Uh-huh. So a we cycle, would baby boomers be a we cycle because it was always kind of the we generation, or is that a me cycle?
It's a great question. We view the generations differently. We don't look at a generation as birth cohorts, someone born between this year and that year. Rather, a generation is the predominant worldview of society as a whole. So whether you're a generation X or Y or a millennial or a baby boomer, today we all share the same directional view of the world. We're currently in a we mindset. However, if you want to talk about people that are defined as baby boomers, they were born into a me cycle. And it was their kids that were the ones that had to transform from a me mentality to a we mentality.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, you mentioned the millennials, and as I said in the beginning, it's obviously 9/11. How has 9/11 changed or shaped this generation, and does that fit into the continuing changes in society? I mean, does that fit into the pendulum cycle?
Well, there's a couple of things that come into play here. First of all, how we respond to things in a me cycle versus a we cycle is very different. If you look at the great wars in American history, they all fall into a we cycle, whether it be the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, or World War II, those fall into a we cycle, whereas the wars that we have problems with, say Korea or Vietnam, fall into a me cycle. So part of it's how we respond to what's going on, how we responded to 9/11, whether we were for or against the war in Iraq or for or against the war in Afghanistan, the support of the troops and the support that was given by the American people and people in the West was very different than the lack of support that we saw both in the Korean War and more specifically in the Vietnam War. So that's the first, that's the first part. But the second is, when we went back and researched the last 3,000 years of recorded Western civilization, looking to disprove our hypothesis of every 40 years going from a me to a we, and then 40 years going back from a we to a me, we also determined that there are four 20-year microsystems that are part of the movement of what's creating the swing of the pendulum. And I'm going to use specific years so that we can identify with it, but if you look at 1953, which is the last 10 years in the last we cycle, 10 years before the beginning of the last me cycle, which started in 63. So from 1953 to 1973, the last 10 years of the last we cycle and the first 10 years of the last me cycle, we were in a system of I'm okay, you're okay. From 1973 to 1993, so that's 10 years into the last me cycle through year 30 of the last me cycle, we were in a cycle of I'm screwed up, you're okay. In 1983, which is at the height, the zenith of the last me cycle, we see Michael Jackson release his biggest album with Thriller. We see Madonna release her first album when she sang the line, because we are living in a material world and I am your material girl. But we also see hero worship, guru worship. We see the release of Tony Robbins. We see the release of Stephen Covey and Jack Canfield. Our athletes become heroes and models that we want to emulate.
Let me just interrupt you here. Was there something comparable to that 40 years before? I mean, is there some way, you know, you said this book is basically for marketers and for people understanding, and certainly it's a good sociological book for anybody understanding life and history. Is there something that you can, could you predict with that by saying, you know, I hear where music's coming into it and you're talking about how we project the cycle we're in on the stage of life. Was that 40 years before, and could that be 40 years from then? I mean, does it work that way?
It would have been 40 years. It would have been 80 years, because 40 years before would have been in the previous cycle. So in 43, we were in a Wii cycle, but it would have been 80 years before 83 would have been 1903, and that you would have seen similar music. But what's interesting is if you look at 93 to 2013, the last 10 years of the last Me cycle and the first 10 years of this We cycle, 2003 was the beginning of a We cycle. We were in a mindset of I'm screwed up, you're screwed up. Let's both get over it and move it along. And we've been attempting to work together holistically for the last 20 years to be able to deal with really big issues. But what's interesting and scary, and this goes back to your question about 9/11, is that starting in 2013, we are moving into a cycle of I'm okay, you're screwed up. And we call this the witch hunt cycle.
You know what, Michael, I'm going to ask you to hold on to that, because I really want to get into that, because I know listeners want to hear about that, because that pertains to all of us in our future. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the pendulum and how it shapes our past and how it shapes our future with author Michael Drew. We'll be back here in just a few on WTBQ. Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and don't go anywhere. We are talking with Michael Drew, who is a marketer. He has been in the publishing industry. He has propelled many books onto national bestsellers lists, including The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, The New York Times. He knows what he's talking about. He's done an awful lot of research on his new book that he wrote with his co-author, Roy H. Williams. The book is called Pendulum, How Past Generations Shape and Present and Predict Our... Shape Our Present, I'm sorry, and Predict Our Future. Terrific book. Really, a lot of intense research went into this, Michael. And before we took a break, you were talking about 2013, next year, not so far away. How that start? Does that start a new cycle, or is new 2014? And where do we go, and what is that cycle?
Well, you know, we talked about the four microcycles of 20-year systems that move us from me to we, the 1953 to 1973 of I'm okay, you're okay, 73 to 93 of I'm 73 to 93 of I'm screwed up, you're okay, 93 to 2013 in the cycle of I'm screwed up, you're screwed up. But starting in 2013, we are moving into a cycle of I'm okay, you're screwed up, or witch hunts. And you'd ask the question before the break about how does what's going on now reflect what's happened in the past.
Right.
And here's going to be a really great example of it that is most relevant to your listeners today. We call this the witch hunt cycle because literally throughout the history of mankind, if there's been a witch hunt that has occurred, a demonization of a group, it has happened during this 20-year time frame of I'm okay, you're screwed up, or the witch hunt cycle. If you, literally the Inquisition happened in this time frame, the actual Salem witch trials happened in this 20-year time frame.
Interesting.
Bloody Mary, certainly the first the United States Revolutionary War, the first French Revolution, the Civil War. 80 years ago in Europe, you had Stalin, Mussolini, and Hitler. In the United States, most people forget that we had Japanese intern camps, and we had Joseph McCarthy, who was, I'm okay, you're a commie bastard. So you had these, you have these groups where throughout history, during this 20-year time frame, it was about the demonization of people that you were not alike. And when we look at 9/11, we also look at this election year. What we have to be aware of is it's very easy and natural for us in the groups or the tribes that we're a part of to say, well, we've been working together with these other groups for the benefit of mankind. We haven't accomplished our goals. We're not the problem. It has to be you that's the problem. And for us to start demonizing other groups for making those mistakes. And if we're not careful, in the next 20 years, we could easily have a similar repeat to what happened even just 80 years ago. And I'll give you a quick illustration of that. There was a French politician about a month ago who, a statesman, who wrote a paper that its basic thesis stated that the real problem with the Holocaust is that Europe lost 13 million peace-loving, productive Jews and replaced them with 13 million warmongering Muslims.
Oh. That could start a fight. I mean, you know, that could start a big fight, don't you think?
Oh, it can, but what I'm telling you is that literally that is the mindset that is going to encapsulate Western society for the next 20 years. It's going to become more and more, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm okay, you're screwed up. And we're going to see a fracturing into smaller and smaller groups and the demonization of groups of people that we don't agree with. And so that's the real danger in the next 20 years.
So this sounds like a dire prediction. There must be something wonderful along with this prediction. What else good happens during these years?
Well, the benefit of being in a we cycle is that we are actually making things happen. We're able to make sure that everybody's taken care of, and we're making sure that we're doing what's best for society as a whole.
Okay.
One of the reasons that we decided to publish the book is because we wanted to mute the damage of what's happened in the last from the last I'm okay, you're screwed up mindsets or cycles. We believe that if we can educate people about this coming change, that we have the opportunity to not do that, that we have the opportunity to not demonize those that we don't agree with.
So you think there's a possibility here to change things, change the cycle by knowing it. So you're saying through all your research that what you have found out, yes, history repeats itself unless you don't know about it. I mean, if you know about it, you can change it, right? It's not destined to repeat itself.
That's our hope. I'm not saying that we can or we can't. Never in the history of mankind have we had the technology that we do today, nor has anyone done the research to be able to identify these systems, these cycles. So my hope is, my belief is that at very minimum, we can reduce the negative nature of this cycle.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. So you're doing predictions here, kind of like Faith Popcorn did years ago, that sort of thing. So this book is obviously for all of us, and also marketers. Those have their own business, right, that you can understand where things are going and how to take it. So by reading this book, can we project our business and our customer a little bit better?
Absolutely. The book is for anyone who would benefit from understanding where society is headed, whether it be business, nonprofit organizations, or even in politics, all of those areas, understanding the cultural trends and where society is headed is critical if you want to be successful.
Oh, there's no question.
In terms of business specifically, the reality is that in order to effectively market any product or service, you have to do, as Roy H. Williams would say, you need to speak to the meat at the heart of the dog. In the Pavlovian sense, if we're all dogs, we all have a meat that we hanker for. You need to speak to that felt need. But what's important in marketing is that you have to understand that you're dealing with reaching a broad group of people, not an individual. And understanding that in a me cycle, we as individuals and as groups of people want to be pushed to be bigger and better than who we actually are. In a we cycle, we want to be able to come together to help everyone else around us. Okay. And one of the really important things in this cycle of I'm okay, you're screwed up to understand is that what's most important is definition through exclusion. Definition by stating not what I stand for, but rather what I stand against. If you can clearly and articulately state what you stand against, you will be able to build a stronger, deeper tribe, and you'll be able to market yourself infinitely better. We have many, many, many cases where, whether it be a radio station or whether it be an individual client, where they simply changed their message from talking about what they stood for to clearly articulating what they stand against, where they were able to increase, and this is fairly consistent across the board, increase revenue, gross revenue by more than 30%.
Okay.
Simply by switching, here's what I stand for, into here's what we stand against.
Okay, so that's advice for this, for the next 20, 40 years coming up, or what is it, 10 years in this particular cycle, or is it going to be 40 years in this?
We are currently 10 years into a we cycle, a 40-year we cycle.
Gotcha, okay.
The microcycle we're entering into, the I'm okay, you're screwed up cycle, is a 20-year cycle,
gotcha,
which will end in 2033.
And, you know, you talk about, we got about just another minute, but you talk about when you were born determines your opportunities, which is a great reason to pick up this book. Actually, there's many great reasons to pick up this book that we did not have time to touch on. We only have about a half a minute left, Michael, but you can tell everybody where to get this book, and we can leave you with the last word here to say about the book and why you wrote it and who you wrote it for.
Certainly. The book is being released October 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to thependulumbook.com, thependulumbook.com.
Okay.
To pre-order the book, or to amazon.com.
Okay. And all of this is on Shannon's Corner for everybody listening. You just go there and the book and everything is on there, so they can get it from there. So if you're in the car, don't worry about writing it down.
Cool.
So you can just get it through WCBQ. Yeah, go ahead.
The reality is, if you want to see into the hearts of people, you have to understand what motivates them. And this book is a phenomenal insight into where we are and where we're headed. And if you want to have to make a meaningful difference in the world in the next 20 years, you need to read this book.
Okay, pick up the book. It is a fabulous, really wonderful book that we just touched on, but you should read it and get the rest of it. It's Pendulum, How Past Generations Shape Our Present and Predict Our Future. Michael Drew, I thank you so much for joining us today. You were a terrific guest. Interesting book. Really go get it. Everything's on Shannon's Corner through WTBQ. And we have to wrap it up for today. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.
Hi, this is Frank Truett. Looking to lose weight without feeling hungry?